God for just a moment. Don't die now. Amen. It's preaching time. Amen. Don't die now. 1 John chapter 2. One verse here. And then hold your place in Zechariah. I'll get there momentarily if the Lord will help us. All right? The Bible said in verse number 1, 1 John 2, verse 1, my little children.
Amen.
Glad I'm in that number.
Amen.
These things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, and we do. He dealt with that in chapter number 1. If a man say he has no sin, that man is a liar.
Amen.
The truth is not in him. And if any man sin, we have an advocate.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We have an advocate, yes, with the Father, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The righteous. The Lord to help me for just a moment. I want to preach on those three or four words. The subject just simply, we have an advocate.
Amen.
We have an advocate. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come before you in prayer, beseeching of you mercies and grace again that we do not deserve, but that we desperately need. Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning. Lord, fill us as we try to preach the Word of God one more time and take these thoughts as we've pondered them these last several weeks. And Lord, you've added some things in our heart and in our mind. And Lord, I pray we'd be able to communicate what needs to be said today in power and unction. Lord, you'll have to give it. We don't have it in and of ourselves. Lord, I don't deserve your touch, but I need it. The church does not, Lord, have any kind of merit within ourselves, Lord, to earn your presence and working power. But, Lord, we do surely need it today. Lord, there's sinners in the building. They're brokenhearted in the building. There are those that are straying, backslidden away from God. There's some today, Lord, who just need to hear from heaven, Lord, in a special way. And, Lord, I pray, Lord, whatever the needs are in every heart, every human life and mind and soul and spirit, may the God of glory, Lord, minister to each and every one of those needs and do what only you can do. And we'll thank you and bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus. One more time we pray. Amen and amen. This letter here that John the Beloved writes, only five chapters. In these five chapters, John the Beloved, it's going to take on many things to try to bolster the child of God's relationship with their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He begins, and he's going to have a lot of hard things to say, a lot of needful things, even in the hour in which we live, relating to our personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was a man who knew what it was to walk with the Lord. He is a man who understood and had personally experienced the grace of God and the presence of the Lord Jesus in his life. He had seen him, he declares in chapter 1, in verse number 1, with his own eyes, and had looked upon him. He had handled him with his own hands. And now he is communicating the fact that life, spiritual life, had been manifested to him and the other disciples and apostles by the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he wants us to enjoin ourselves into such a relationship with the Savior in this day. And when we come to 1 John chapter number 2 and in verse number 1, several things I'll point out that'll get us to our thought that I think are needful for our study this morning. Number one, considering this verse, I see a beautiful comparison. His writing to those that are saved and the redeemed of God, those that have been brought out of darkness and into light. And notice how this chapter begins in our English Bible, my little children. My little children, what a beautiful comparison that is made in our life, in our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God moving through the hand of John the Beloved, moves him to write, tell them they are God's little children. I'm glad this morning that I'm in the family of God. I'm thankful that I've been born and adopted. I am a twofold child of God, that, amen, I am one of God's little children. He ain't writing to the drunkards down on the bar stools last night. He's not writing the ones who've been in the honky tonks and the dance halls that have needle marks up and down their arms. He is writing to those that have been saved, that, and he pulls him into a beautiful comparison and reminds them they are God's little children. I'm thankful this morning I am one of God's little children. That means when I pray, I can say, Brother Tim, my Father, it's art in heaven. He is my Father, and I am one of his little children. I'm not a child of the devil anymore. I'm not a child of the world anymore. I am one of God's little children. Amen. And if you're saved, that you need to be reminded today that that is what you are. You're not what you used to be. You've been saved and brought into the family. And the Lord says, tell them, John, that you are writing to my little children. That's beautiful. There's nothing in Sister Kate. Didn't know what I was preaching, but she is testifying of the beautiful picture of little Miss Anna Lee with her hands in the air while the choir sung. There's nothing more beautiful than the innocence and the purity and the beginning stages of an individual's life manifest in a little child. Do you understand? I'm bogging down. I don't mean to bog down. I just want you to understand, if you're saved, what you are. You are one of God's little children, and he values your life. He finds beauty in you, and he is your Father, is taking care of you because you are one of his little children. A beautiful comparison. Notice with me, amen, if you're going to shout, that might have been the place to do it. Notice with me, number two, there is a bold commandment. John said, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. That is a very bold declaration, and it is not a matter of multiple choice. It's not a matter of feeling or emotion or just do the best you can. It is boldly declared as the same one that wrote, my little children, is being led by the same Holy Ghost, that this is the message God wants you to hear in this life. That it is not the will of God that you commit sin. Sin not, that you sin not. You say, preacher, I have weaknesses. I have things that easily beset me. You need to hear the bold commandment. The expectation of Almighty God upon the authority of the Word of God. And it is the will of God that we do not sin. You understand the Word of God. Now, the Word of God does a lot of things, communicates a lot of things. But one of the things, and the world despises it, and worldlings despise it, and sinners despise it, and carnal saved people despise this about the Word of God, is that it is a book of thou shalt and thou shalt not. John the Beloved is saying, if you're one of God's little children, that you need to understand that at the mark you're to be shooting at is, I do not want to sin. I want to avoid sin. I want to do all I can to raise parameters up around my life and live my life by principles whereby I don't fall into sin. I don't commit sin. Oh, that is the will of God for our life. A bold commandment. Amen. And that needs to be preached in these days. God is not telling us this so that he can rob the fun out of your life. You say, preacher, why wouldn't God command such a high commandment, a high mark to hit, a high standard to attain to, preacher. Are you telling me God is telling me that I am not supposed to sin? Why would He do that? Everybody ready for this? Because He knows what sin is going to do to you. He knows and is declared in the Word of God that sin, it looks pleasurable in the moment of temptation. In the moment of temptation, it seems that there'll be satisfaction and there'll be joy. And it's only short-lived, for the pleasures of sin are but for a season. And when the season runs out, not only are you going to disgrace the name of God, God knows what sin is going to do to you. And so He is writing not to hinder us, but to help us. Somebody needs to help me preach. Amen. A bold commandment and a beautiful comparison. Notice with me a blessed consolation. The Bible said, immediately following the bold command, that ye sin not. And if any man sin. I'm interested today in how many of us, don't raise your hand. Amen. Some of you wouldn't raise your hand no way, and it'd be more of a tell on you than those of us who would raise our hand. You know you're not supposed to sin.
Right.
You know that's the commandment of God upon your life. And yet, how many sins did you commit this week?
Amen. Amen.
You believe the Bible, don't you? It's not the will of God that you sin. Some of y'all, you've sinned by things you've done and things you thought and spirits you possess, your pride and your bitterness and your grudge holding and your envy. And there's a multitude and diverse amount of ways by which we violate the bold command that you sin not. And we find ourselves having sinned. And in that moment we're grieved. And in that moment we become enraged. And in that moment we have this conflict and this battle and this resistance and this grief that we bear. Because we know we're not supposed to have sinned. John the Beloved said, and if any man sin. Anybody been there this week? Don't raise your hand. Anybody, my friend, experienced that this week? Has anybody been there in your Christian life that you had good intentions, but somewhere along the way you made provision for the flesh? Somewhere along the way you began to drift off? Somewhere along the way you left the things you knew you should have been doing? And all of a sudden you find yourself doing things that you would not and you know you shouldn't do? And John said, and if any man sin, and what are we going to do when we sin? Are we going to be cast away? Are we going to be pushed aside? Are we going to be thrown out of the family? Oh no! Amen. John the Beloved gives a blessed consolation. Because the fact of the matter is, that's what we deserve. We deserve to be thrown out of the family. We deserve, my friend, to be pushed aside. We deserve to be mistreated. We deserve condemnation and judgment and a whipping from Almighty God. But John the Beloved gives a blessed consolation. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. Now I want to say this morning, this does not mean that you're not going to reap what you sow. This doesn't mean, my friend, that sin's price and sin's payment, my friend, is not going to touch you in some sort of a way. But He's giving us a blessed consolation in the fact that we have an advocate, that our Heavenly Father will not kick His little children out of His family. He won't take us back down to the orphanage. He will not abort our life. Thank God we have an advocate. We have a go-between, a stand-in with our Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ the righteous. What a blessed consolation if you're a Pharisee and one of the hyper super duper saints and you ain't committed a sin in a long, long time. This message will mean nothing to you. Those that are struggling their way through life, and those that, my friend, are missing the mark, and those that are making a mess of their life, and those that have walked in even in this service this morning and they're stained with some sort of sin, albeit in their body or in their life and in their actions or something they said or someplace they found themselves, or a spirit that dwells on the inside of them and their endemic nature. Amen. Some are here today and they have sinned, and we know what it's like to sin. What a blessed consolation to hear the words, "We have an advocate."
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Advocate, listen to this. It means an intercessor.
Amen.
Or a consoler. Amen. It means an aid of any kind. Somebody that will come to your aid. It's interesting, this word, if you do a word study on it, this word advocate, it brings us into the realm, and Christ taught this in His earthly ministry, of the ministry even of the Holy Spirit in His abiding presence. It literally means to comfort or to encourage or to exhort. That when we sin, does that not discourage us? I've done it again. Oh, I can't believe I've done it again. There is an advocate, amen, that comes along our side in that moment of discouragement, in that moment of being having, knowing that we let the Father down again, that, my friend, we're discouraged about it, we're grieved about it. We have an advocate, one that comes by to console us, and not in our sin, and not to excuse our sin, but and He comes by to lift us up, and He comes by to exhort us, and He comes by to stand there and say, and says, "I need you, little child, to get up. And I need you in my power and by my grace and through my forgiveness, who arise and live for your heavenly Father again." And I say this morning, we have an advocate. Amen. An advocate here. This word advocate is used in matters of a courtroom application. It is used here of a legal advisor, a legal pleader, a legal proxy who comes forward in behalf of and as the representative of another. My little children, these things are right unto you that you sin not. The law has been passed. The commandment has been given. But oh, how we violate it sometimes and are in need of somebody that can go to the Father on their behalf. One that can arise and say, "I will stand here as their representative. I will plead to the Father and I'll be the go-between." And John the Beloved is saying, we have an advocate. And I'm going to tell you today, you better thank God you have an advocate. Amen. I'm telling you, all the sins you committed before you got saved, you know what you needed? You needed a mediator. The Bible said there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So in the moment that you realize you were a sinner and you had sinned against all that God had ever commanded, and there was none good, not even yourself, no, not what, and there wasn't even anything good about you, you bowed on your knees. And what does Jesus do? Jesus, as the mediator, He steps in and becomes your advocate, your representative. And based on Jesus, the Father forgives you of your sin, washes it all away, and changes your life, and births you into His family as one of His little children.
Amen.
So we needed an advocate for our salvation. But can I say we need an advocate since our salvation? Amen, because the Word of God is clear and we have a dual nature as a child of God.
Amen.
It's a part of me that is saved and in Christ that every day fulfills the bold commandment that you shall not. There is a man, a saved man, the Christ man in me has never committed a sin.
Amen.
But there's another man inside of me called the old man. I'm supposed to be putting him off. I'm supposed to be pushing him down. I'm supposed to not be making provision for him. Buddy, I tell you, he lusts against the Spirit. He strives to find some worldly, sinful thing to satisfy his old Adamic appetites. There are days that that happens. I'm not bragging on it. I'm ashamed of it. But I'm glad in those moments, Brother Gerald, we have an advocate. You say, preacher, I have sinned. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not belittling that. But get in line. And understand that you're not the only one that has sinned. You're not the only one that is struggling. I've come to tell you this morning, we have an advocate. We have an advocate. And when the pain and the sting of sin is experienced, yes, even in the life of one of God's little children, that is not the finality. That is not a failure. That failure is not a finality. Your sin, my friend, will not cut you out of the family of God, because we have an advocate that is there to represent you and I.
Amen.
Now what I want to do this morning, are we all clear on that? Look with me in Zechariah. I want to illustrate all of that in five verses in Zechariah chapter number 3. And so the truth of John, 1 John 2:1 is illustrated in the life of a man in the text of Zechariah chapter number 3, a man by the name of Joshua, the high priest. We're now come out of a time of post-exile, and Israel has been brought back out of Babylonian captivity. And they was just really in a mess in those days. They had got in captivity because of sin. They were struggling to recover. They were struggling to rebuild. They were just doing the best they could. And in the middle of all of that, there is a man upon whom the lot has fallen to serve as high priest, and his name is Joshua. If you know anything about the high priest and the way they were to serve and to minister in the tabernacle and in the temple and all the sacrifices, you understand that was a holy position. There were a lot of commandments about his personal defilement and things he had to stay away from. And if there were any defilements and any stains and anything that had corrupted him in any way, he would be disqualified from going in and serving before the Lord. And yet it's very interesting to me, in light of all that we know about all of those commandments of this man's personal and internal and external holy standards he was to live by. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 3. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. What we find here is Joshua is portrayed as one trying to live for God and to worship his Lord with filthy garments. Now God had already made the command, don't you come up in here with, amen, stains and filth on your garments. I want white linen. It's to be pure white. Amen. Wash yourself and wash your hands and wash your feet. And when you come in here to serve the Lord and to worship before the Lord was very meticulous underneath the law about how this man was supposed to come before God. But here he is, and the Bible said he had filthy garments on. The word filthy that is used here literally means soiled and smeared with refuse and excrement. I don't mean to be gross this morning or vulgar, out of the way. That's the literal idea behind the word filth. That this man, his garment had been soiled, it had been stained, and there were smears of refuse and vile and stink and mess and excrement upon this man's garment. And he has come in that condition into the presence of the Lord, into the Lord's house, with filthy garments, trying to worship God.
Right.
Those filthy garments are a reflection and a picture, Brother Mark, of sin and what sin does in the life of a child of God.
Right.
Amen. Come on now, even you super dupers, if you'll be honest a minute, you understand. We all get soiled and smeared and stained every now and then. You don't want to admit it, but God already said it, and the Word of God declares it so you might as well not argue with it.
Amen.
And we know better. And we know what God said. But here's Joshua, and he doesn't know what to do with these filthy garments. They've just paid for their sin. They've been in captivity and bondage. They're doing the best they can. And now he comes in, and he's in this shape, and he doesn't know what to do with the filthy garments. I want to say this morning, you may have sinned, and you say, "Preacher, I don't know what to do." Can I tell you that we find in the story of Joshua and the high priest, what John the Beloved was teaching you and that into this very dispensation, and we have an advocate. We have an advocate. You may be soiled. You may have a mess going on in your life. You may not know what to do with it. You may be reeling and grieved and thinking, "How in the world am I going to get out of the mess that I'm in? What hope do I have?" Here is the hope. We have an advocate.
Amen.
Let me run you through the text real quickly. I think I got it broke down in three. I had maybe four or five, maybe six things. I got it broke down, I think, how we can deal with it. Let me say a word this morning. We have an advocate illustrated in the life of Joshua. Notice with me verse number one, the resistance against Joshua. The resistance against Joshua. I want to say this morning that the command is clear. We're not to have on filthy garments. The command is clear that you sin not. Notice what happens is Joshua begins to try to serve the Lord and worship his God in filthy garments. The Bible said, and he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. I want you to understand the resistance against Joshua. The fact of the matter is, Satan here and even in our life uses Joshua's filthy garments to resist him. Satan knows where your weak spots are. Satan knows where you're soiled and stained and stepped in a mess. He is waiting for an opportunity, and he might arise in resistance against us because of that we have stepped in, that we have done, that place we went we should have never went, that thing we said we should have never said, that moment of gossip and slander that we should have never engaged in. The devil knows how we've been stained and soiled. My friend, this is why God said that you sin not. Because when we sin, it allows Satan to come in, that old adversary to step up and begin to push back against our spiritual life, to throw his fiery darts of discouragement, and throw his fiery darts of accusation, and throw his fiery darts, amen, of just quit, lay down, what's the use? Sin is serious because it allows Satan to resist our lives.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The word resist means to attack and accuse. To attack and to accuse, it means to slander. You know what the devil was doing? He was slandering Joshua for his filthy garments. You know you ain't supposed to come in here like that. You know what God said over there in the law. You know what He gave over there to Aaron and to his sons. And He began to slander him. This word resist. Oh boy, this is how I know. Amen. A lot of Baptists are filled with the devil. You know what the devil does? Him resisting. You know what the word resist implies? That he was harboring animosity toward Joshua. Amen. That's how I know a lot of you Baptists are full of the devil. Amen. The animosity people hold, that's no more than a characteristic of Satan. He's harboring animosity toward this one. He knows what God said, and yet here he is. He don't know what to do, and all he can do is experience resistance from the adversary. This word resist, it presents with it a negative attitude that one has toward another, or a bias against somebody else. That reminds you today there's an adversary out there walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. When we sin and we have filth in our garments and we're not walking in holiness and we're not walking in the commandments that we've been given, it allows the devil to begin to work negatively in our life to beat us down and to discourage us and depress us. And my friend, slander us to the point that we'll almost get the place we'll throw our hands and give up. Amen. Let me show you something interesting in this resistance. I'm almost done. You say, you can't be. I really am. Just hang with me, all right? The Bible said, and Satan standing at his right hand. Ain't that interesting? Very, very, Brother Maurice, very detailed about the position in which Satan came against him. This resistance came at Joshua's right hand. That is, the right hand is the side of strength. The side of strength. When Joshua walked in filthy garments, it allowed the devil to resist him on the side where he used to have strength. Amen. You got to hear me now. You say, oh, it ain't that big a deal. Our sin allows the devil to take our strength. If you ain't got strength today, that could be for maybe several reasons, but one of the greatest reasons, one of the most prominent reasons, as I've pastored people over these 20 years, is that somewhere along the way, there's something in their life they can't deal with, don't know how to deal with, they're trying to figure out how to get out of the mess they're in. The devil comes to their right hand, strips them of their strength and leaves them exposed, weak, discouraged, and downtrodden. Sin will do it every time. Sin will do it every time. Oh, child of God, hear me. Amen. That thou sin not. That you sin not. Amen. Be careful before you make that choice. Be careful about where you go. Be careful about what attitudes and spirits you allow prevail in the animosity and the pride. Be careful, be careful, be careful. Amen. About what you get involved in sin.
Amen.
Because with it, you're about ready to experience a resistance that will show you how weak you really are left to yourself.
Amen.
Number two. Everybody with me?
Yes,
all right, we're about back into shouting ground. Somebody said, phew. Amen. Notice with me the rebuke for Joshua. It's interesting to me that verse number 1 would imply that in resisting Joshua, Satan is not only working against him, but he is making accusation. He is accusing Joshua to the Father. This would be, listen, the fact of the matter is, God knows he has filthy garments. Joshua knows he has filthy garments. And so when we come out of verse number 1, we would be expecting the hammer of God's judgment to fall upon Joshua. I told you not to come in here like that. Didn't you read what Moses said? You would expect in this moment of time that there to be a swift and severe condemnation against Joshua. At this resistance, there is nothing Joshua can do. Are y'all ready for this? Except give his agreement.
Yes, sir.
It's all he can do.
Amen.
Yep, you're right.
Right.
I see it, I smell it. I've tried to get it off. I'm just making a bigger mess out of things. Devil, you're right.
Right.
However, Joshua has an advocate.
Amen.
Who arises to face his accuser.
Amen.
Yes, Satan, you're right. Joshua knows you're right. The Father knows you're right. I just want to go on record, devil. I know that you're right. But notice what the Bible said. And the Lord said unto Satan. You want to blow your mind right here if you think on this too much. Here's what the Lord said. This ain't what Joshua said. This is what the Lord said. The Lord rebuked thee. The Lord said, the Lord rebuked thee. Amen. Don't tell me there ain't no Trinity doctrine in the Word of God. God said, the Lord rebuked thee.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, bless His name. The rebuke for Joshua. He has an advocate. He is facing his accuser, but his advocate will arise to face the accuser. And he arises with a rebuke, not to Joshua.
Yes, sir.
Joshua deserves the rebuke, but the rebuke is placed by the advocate to the accuser. To rebuke implies, oh, listen to this. Y'all will get this. I'm almost done. It's going to get good. It's about to get good if y'all will hang with me. You know the best way I could define rebuking somebody, y'all understand this. It's real easy to understand. When you rebuke somebody, Brother A.L., you're putting them in their place. You know what the advocate did for Joshua? He rebuked the accuser.
Amen.
He put the accuser in his place. The Lord rebuked thee. The Lord rebuked thee. Even the Lord that had chosen Jerusalem rebuked thee. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad we have an advocate. I can hear as Joshua is listening unto all of the resistance and all the accusation. He's being attacked by this one who is his adversary. He feels worse and worse and weaker and weaker. He's wondering, how in the world am I going to get out of this? And all of a sudden, the Lord arises to his defense. His advocate steps up and the advocate gives the accuser some of his own medicine. The Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee. Amen. This rebuke was not merited by Joshua. He did not deserve an advocate. He's violated so many things. He is far, far, far away from deserving a representative.
Amen.
You say, but why then? Why would the advocate arise? Notice what the advocate reminds the devil. And no doubt Joshua is listening. And Joshua hears the Lord begin to speak up. Maybe there's a little trepidation in his heart. And he begins to hear the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that had chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? You know what the Lord was reminding the devil of in the rebuke that he is giving to him? He is reminding him that I have rescued this one. This one was in the fire. This one was headed to be burned. This one was all but consumed in the fire of my judgment and my wrath against the sin of Jerusalem. And I reached down in the fire, and now he's a brand that has been rescued. And I remind you today, you do not and have not and never will merit a Lord Jesus Christ to be your advocate. And if there's been a day in your life, amen, he plucked you out of the fire. He rescued you as a brand. Amen, out of the fires of sin and of hell and the wrath of God. Amen, that is the gracious basis of why you have an advocate.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, I'm glad I'm saved today. Can I tell? Oh, you got to get this. Notice. Here's what the Lord is telling the devil. I hear everything you're saying, but you don't understand. That's one of my little children.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah. That's what he's telling him, Brother David. He's saying, oh, I know everything you said. I know it's all true. I see it. He sees it. You see it. Everybody sees it. But you just got to understand. That's one of my little children.
Amen.
I can see the devil trying to make a dispute. But God. You kicked me and a third of your angels out of heaven for less than what he's done. He's done more than we did, and you kicked us out of your presence. And that angel of the Lord, now Brother Mike, he's been studying this, we've been studying this. Amen. That angel of the Lord, you want to know who he is? He's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Amen.
I can hear the devil say, Joshua did more than we've ever done. Joshua's in rebellion like I was. He's got a mess going like we did. You kicked me and a third of your angels out of heaven for less than that man's done.
Amen.
I can see the angel Lord go, yeah, but I did this for him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I did this for him. The marks in my brow were made for him. His side that was opened up, it was opened up for him. I bled and I died and I gave my life for him. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why the Bible saith of the angels in glory that they have a desire to look in to the things and the matters and the grace of God. They don't understand atonement. They don't understand bloodshed. They don't understand grace and mercy and forgiveness and the new birth. God kicked them out for their rebellion. They were left without an advocate. But you and I, Brother Jack, hallelujah, we ought to be banished. We did more than the devil himself done. We're guilty more than even the devil did. But we have an advocate that says, I was there when they got plucked out. I was there when I died for them. I was there when my blood was shed. I was there when they buried me. I was there when I got up on the tomb and ever liveth for their justification.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, sir.
About that moment, soon as Jesus goes, but I didn't do this for you.
That's right.
I done it for him.
That's right.
Argument over. Checkmate.
Yep.
Come on now.
Yep.
Checkmate. The devil has to turn around, throw his tail between his legs, and go back to hell where he came from. Amen. Because the rebuke of the Master was sufficient. The advocate stood as a representative for Joshua. But the advocate don't stop there.
Amen.
That's where most of y'all wanted to stop at. You want to go on with your filthy garments and the Lord make you feel good that He's your advocate and the devil get off your back and you can feel a little bit better about where you are. But that ain't where the story ends. Notice the restoration of Joshua. Amen. After the Lord rebukes the resistor, He turns to Joshua and He goes, "All right, we got to do something about this now." Me being your advocate don't change what I said. It's time we take off the filthy garments. In fact, the Bible said that He said to those that stood by Him, evidently there's a crowd around, and the Lord says to them, "Take away the filthy garments." You ain't going to go on, Joshua. You've lived in regrets. You've lived with your mess. You've lived discouraged. You've lived not knowing what to do with all of this. Joshua, I'm going to restore you back to what you ought to be. But if that's going to happen, somebody going to have to preach the filthy garments off of you. Amen. And I remind you this morning, you have an advocate that will not leave you in the mess you've made.
Amen.
Amen. I thought about a lot of things here. Amen. I thought about the exchange, take away the filthy garments from them. I've got to quit. Excrement. Y'all know what that is. I don't want to be vile or any other way, excrement. Pewee. Everybody know what we talk about? Whew. Whew. Amen. We got Anna Lee and Scott here. They're little children. Do you know what little children do a lot of? Filthy garments. They're not trying. It's just what little children do. Oh, hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Larry, I get thinking some days about being one of God's little children. And how many poo-poos I've done.
That's right.
Yes. Amen. Now I'm out of that stage. I'm a daddy. I ain't got little children. It's one thing when your little baby, little Anna Lee, she gonna do some filthy garments. I'll pick on Sam. He ain't here this morning. Sam's 20 years old. If Sam's still doing what little Anna Lee does daily and many times daily, we got a problem. So I'm out of that stage of life. Amen. I love little children, love little babies. But you put one in my hand and they make a filthy garment while I'm holding them, we done. Everybody listening? We done. They going back to mom or dad. Y'all can deal with that. Amen. I didn't do much diaper changing with my own, did I? Very little. I did a few. Amen. God didn't equip me to feed them. I don't reckon He intended on me changing them. Can I get a witness right there? Felt the Holy Ghost on that. Amen. I didn't put it in them. I ain't wiping what comes out. But you know what? You know what these parents would do, especially the mamas? Them little babies make their filthy garments. Them little babies, they'll start crying because they're uncomfortable. They don't want to be in all that, and they can't do nothing about it for themselves. You know what mama does? Miss Kate get up in the middle of the night, that them youngins in there screaming and crying because they had a filthy garment. Mama go in there, not mad. You weren't mad, were you? Okay. Go in there and pick up that little youngin. It'd be okay. Mama's here. Take over the changing table and set it down. Maybe begin to sing to the youngin' and say sweet little soft things to that youngin' and begin to go through that process of all that's required to pull off that filthy garment. Put on a new clean diaper. And you know what's amazing? Are y'all still with me? Do you know what's amazing to me? That mama do that knowing 2 or 3 hours from now that youngin's going to have another filthy garment.
Yes. Amen.
This is up to me, bless God. You're going to sit in it till you learn not to do it no more. There'd be filth everywhere. But not mama. You know why? That's her little child. She don't want her little child uncomfortable. She don't want her little child crying and weeping and grieved. So she'll do it knowing good and well. She's going to have to do it again in just a short amount of time.
Right.
How many times has God come by and restored you? And He knew, amen, it wasn't going to be long. You're going to have another filthy garment. You're going to be crying again. You're going to have another mess. And He done it again and again and again. Amen, I'm telling you, we have an advocate that just keeps on restoring us time and time again. Amen. See, I'm one of them little children.
Amen.
And them little children, you would get tired of me after a while. Some of y'all are tired of me right now. You'd get tired of me if you had to deal with all that the Father deals with. So tell us all about it. I wouldn't tell you nothing. But He knows how many times has He laid me out on the table of grace. Amen. Took His blessed blood that He shed at Calvary and began to wash my sin away. Wash away the filth and put a new garment. The Lord said to Joshua, I'm going to take away the filthy garment and I am going to give you clean raiment.
Amen.
And exchange. Knowing He's going to go right back out of this place and step in it again. When He gets back here, we'll have to do it all over again. But He keeps on doing it. You have an advocate. You understand that? You have an advocate. You shouldn't sin, but if you do, and when you do, we have an advocate that is there. Not just to rebuke the devourer, but to bring restoration to your life and get you back where you need to be. Amen. A lot more I could say about this restoration. It's extravagant. Not only is there an exchange, there's an extravagance. Y'all catch what verse number, is it verse number 5? Look there, Riley, I've got to quit. Come on, Candy, this will help us land the plane, all right? You know what the Lord said? Change His garments. And then the Lord said, while you at it, put a mitre on his head. He didn't have no mitre on his head in verse number 1.
No, sir.
Somebody said, why'd the Lord say that? One preacher said the Lord said that just because the Lord thought a crown would look good on him.
Amen.
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 You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying when you made a mess and you stepped in it and you have sinned, we have an advocate who's going to bring restoration. He's not just going to exchange this for that. But in that restoration, He can give you far more than you ever thought you could have. Brother Larry, I know me pretty good. I know if I got from God what I deserve, I wouldn't be up singing this morning. I sure wouldn't be up preaching. I wouldn't have a lot of things that I have in life. I would have been disqualified. But I'm going to tell you something. The Lord has a way in working in our life as our advocate to say, I'm going to keep you from destroying yourself. We'll change the garments out. While I'm at it, I think a crown would look good on your head. We put a little glory on. Hallelujah. We put a little authority on your life. Anybody hearing this? You only get that from the advocate. You don't get that by being super duper. You get that from the advocate.
Amen.
And then I thought about the extensiveness of this advocacy. I'm done right here. In fact, you can begin to play. Look how verse number 5 ends. Did it say the angel stood by him? The angel of the Lord, that is, stood by him. In verse number 1, Joshua's trying to stand before the angel of the Lord. He ain't right. He's sinned. He's messed up. He's in a mess. He's just doing, Brother Mark, the best he can. Lucas, he's just doing the best he can. When the advocate arose to his defense, now it is the angel of the Lord who is standing by Joshua. Say why he's standing there to console him. Y'all remember our definition of an advocate? He's standing there to encourage him. He's standing there to aid him and to help him in ways that he needs to do what he's been called to do. He's standing there by him. Let's do it, Joshua. Come on, Joshua, we can do this.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Child of God, we have an advocate. You say, preacher, I feel like the devil and all the forces of hell are standing against me. Amen. Watch this. I think I can illustrate. I got to quit. I got so much. Daniel, come here, buddy. Amen. You mind? I love you, sure. Every knee will bow. Now you get to be the devil, okay? I'm sorry about that. I'll be Joshua. Come here, Jesse. We'll let Jesse be the Lord. Okay? So the Lord, the Bible said the Lord's standing by Joshua, right? Who's been at Joshua's right hand? The devil. Getting all his strength. Stealing all his strength. But who's standing at the right hand of the Lord? Joshua is. If the devil's on Joshua's right hand, then he turns to the left. He's on the right hand of the one who has all of his strength. All his power. All his peace. This guy over here, he's been taking everything I've got. Here's Joshua. I don't know what I'm going to do. All he has to do is turn to the one on whose right hand he's at. He has all the strength, all the power, all the joy. Is anybody getting this? I'm glad I got the Lord standing by me. Thank you, guys. Does that make sense? Child of God, don't you leave here. Don't you leave here with filthy garments on. You turn to the one who can cleanse you. Turn to the one who has your help and your strength. Love you, brother. Get some help. Hallelujah. Some of you, you got filthy garments. Just cry out to Him. He'll run to where you are and pick you up. He knows what you done last week. He knows you done it again. He knows you probably going to do something else stupid next week. Just cry out to Him. Say, Lord, I can't change this. I promise you He can. If you get cleaned up, changed up, set back on the right path, you'll have one standing by your side. You can walk out of here today in victory, walking in the commandments of your God. Hallelujah. Let's stand together.